Once again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshiped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. 2 Thessalonians 2:15-17. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. So then, brothers, stand firm. We're in the midst of looking at the aspect of the seriousness with which we stand before God. How much does he earnestly mean to us? Do we covet and honor his holiness with the same gravity and extreme measure which he places upon it? It is not acceptable to lightly regard the glorification of Jesus Christ. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4:5-10, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. We are at that point of God's vital interests superseding everything else. This is an overwhelming and severe challenge to the very core of our being, to the depth of Christ in us. No longer can we set our minds on simply being good Christians, doing what we think is required to meet the doctrinal demands of our understanding. When we delve into the nucleus of the very holiness of God, as declared in the glory of Jesus Christ, we are declaring that it is absolutely no longer our life in any form or measure. We are asserting our death to sin. It no longer has any pull in our lives. We are not dying, not trying to die, not floundering in our feebleness as being desirous of Christ. We are dead, absolutely, incontrovertibly, unapologetically dead to this earth, and dead to its every avenue of entrapment which once reigned in our hearts. Scripture does not give any leeway for half-heartedness to the things of God. We are to evaluate every aspect of our walk on this earth in the measure of the Word of God in action by the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 through 22. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Hold fast. Abstain from every form of evil. These are not wishes or mere suggestions for a better life. This is the command of God, and as such, true and unbendable, no matter how much we try to fit our thoughts and our ways into a pattern of pseudo-obedience. Abstain from every form of evil. Hebrews 3:13 through 15. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. There is no avenue of denial to the fact that we are to hold fast to Christ all our days. We are to regard our relationship with God in Christ Jesus as the only portion of value in our life. This world throws its deceit and its confusion upon us every day in so many subverting ways in its deceptive influence to cause us to think that we are pleasing God in our walk. When we choose to live our lives in the manner of seeking after both the riches of God and the riches of this age, we are in fact denying him the very means of bringing glory to his Son. He will not tolerate that 1 minute, one single iota. His holiness is unchangeable and utterly non-negotiable. Too many of us are not willing to hear the word of the Lord unto obedience, absolute and unqualified obedience. We are like the children of Israel who cried out for Moses to tell God to stop talking to them, for they were afraid lest they would perish. Do we desire to hear him, no matter what the cost? Or are we in fear of losing something in which we glory other than in Christ? Money, self-gratification, fame, drink, drugs, pornography, power, position, and a myriad of other things that our hearts crave more than the absolute holiness of God is categorically unacceptable in the light of the glory of Jesus Christ. Before we slough this off as not pertaining to us, consider how we approach God in our hearts and in our thoughts. Do we approach him in the full confidence of being conformed into his holiness in Christ Jesus? Or is there that sin, that distraction, that desire which means more to us than Christ's glory? If we are genuine in our passion after the depth of God, why do we permit ourselves to wallow in the unholy filth of the sin of this age? Why do we continually allow ourselves to be sidetracked and distracted by the deceit and cunning of this age, rather than empowered by the Holy Spirit to live completely unto Jesus Christ? We use the excuse that we're only human after all, that we aren't perfect, that we sin because we can't help it. Before we settle our hearts into that vein of human self-justification, please read very carefully and deliberately God's word as recorded in Hebrews 10:19-29. This was written to those who were Christians, who had accepted Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior, who were redeemed by his blood and indwelled by his Holy Spirit. Since, therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, bodies washed with pure water. Hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, encouraging one another. If we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? This is not hellfire and brimstone for the unsaved. This is the point of choice for the Christian, for you and for me. We can choose to be dead to this world, or we can choose to be dead in our fellowship unto God. Yes, we will be saved. Yes, we will go to heaven. Yes, we are still a Christian. But if we choose to continue to desire the things of this age, we willingly forfeit the complete, intimate, and holy relationship with God that is open to us by, through, and in Jesus Christ. This is the new and living way, because he is the only way into the very heart of God's holiness. If we choose the sin over the holiness of the glory of the Son of God, we will completely lose the full blessing of God upon our lives on this earth. Before each occasion of sin, before each temptation of this age, the Lord faithfully and earnestly allows us to choose. If we choose him, he is our strength. He is our wisdom. He is our ability to overcome. And in that choice of him, he creates an ever-deepening and greater fellowship in the intimacy of his own glory. If, however, we choose the sin, we deliberately turn our backs away from that holy relationship and choose to shun the increasing blessing of God in our lives. Our choice is simple. It is intimate fellowship in the glory of Christ, or the tawdry and debilitating disillusionment of the lies of this age. As we have that choice before us, I pray that every one of us responds to the call of God rather than to the siren lure of this deceitful age. Look to Scripture. Throughout all Scripture, lay it open before the Lord God Almighty and ask him to validate his holiness in his every word. Consider the Ark of the Covenant, the earthly type of the relationship that can be ours if we so choose in Christ. It is the very presence of God that is set in that covenant and always will be. God was very, very deliberate in the preparation that was required to enter into that holy place of his presence. Look at how much was required of the high priest just to enter once a year. God desired that communion. He made the way for it to be established. But it demanded absolute holiness to be in the presence of God. A rope was tied around the ankle of the high priest, because if he had not been properly prepared, he would die before the Lord. He was still one of God's people. He was still of the order of Levi. He was still chosen to bring the sacrifice of atonement before God for the people. But all of that mattered not before the holiness of God if he had not properly obeyed every commandment of the Lord in his preparation to enter into the holiness of God's presence. Consider what happened when the Ark of the Covenant was taken out of the Holy of Holies, when the Philistines captured it and took it unto themselves. They were beset with the judgment of God. 1 Samuel 5:7. When the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, "The ark of the God of Israel must not remain with us, for his hand is severe on us and on Dagon, our God." And 1 Samuel 5:9 through 12. And it came about after that, it came about that after they had brought it around, the hand of the Lord was against the city with very great confusion. And he smote the men of the city, both young and old, so that tumors broke out on them. So they sent the ark of God to Ekron. And it happened, as the ark of God came to Ekron, that the Ekronites cried out, saying, "They have brought the ark of the God of Israel around to us to kill us and our people." They sent, therefore, and gathered all the lords of the Philistines and said, "Send away the ark of the God of Israel and let it return to its own place, that it may not kill us and our people." For there was a deadly confusion throughout the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. And the men who did not die were smitten with tumors, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. Even when it was returned to the sons of Israel, God demanded that his holiness be honored, absolutely and completely honored. These were his people. They were the chosen ones of God. But that did not prevent them from receiving the penalty of dishonoring the holiness of the presence of God. 1 Samuel 6:19 and 20. And he struck down some of the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. He struck down of all the people 50,070 men. And the people mourned because the Lord had struck the people with a great slaughter. And the men of Beth Shemesh said, "Who is able to stand before the Lord, this holy God? And to whom shall he go up from us?" We are all familiar with the story of Usa, who suffered death because of the irreverence and disobedience of not honoring the Ark of the Covenant as the very holiness of God. It was being transported by cart in order to more quickly bring it back to the city of David. It was man's use of his own ingenuity to deal with the holiness of God. But it was completely against the specific requirement of absolute obedience to God's holiness. 2 Samuel 6:6 and 7. But when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Usa reached out toward the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen nearly upset it. And the anger of the Lord burned against Usa, and God struck him down there for his irreverence, and he died there by the ark of God. Revelation 11:15 through 19 contains the declaration of all the holiness of God in the living ark of His covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ. His rule is forever and forever. It is in our total relationship with holiness unto God that we will see that which is foreordained. This entire world will suffer the death of its choice to deny God, but not those who can sincerely and completely join in the chorus of the voices that declare God's unending holiness and sovereignty. And the seventh angel sounded, and there arose loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give Thee thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, who art and who wast, because Thou hast taken Thy great power and hast begun to reign. And the nations were enraged, and Thy wrath came, and the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to give their reward to Thy bondservants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to those who fear Thy name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth." And the temple of God, which is in heaven, was opened, and the ark of His covenant appeared in His temple. And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder and an earthquake and a great hailstorm. With this unquestionable revelation of the glory and holiness of Jesus Christ in view, why do we still choose to lust after and honor the vile things of this age with our thoughts, with our actions, with our hearts? We draw to a close this morning with the words of Samuel as recorded in 1 Samuel 12:20 through 25. These are written in order to encourage us in the manner in which we choose to live unto the glory of our Lord and Savior. And Samuel said to the people, "Do not fear. You have committed all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And you must not turn aside, for then you would go after futile things which cannot profit or deliver, because they are futile. For the Lord will not abandon His people on account of His great name, because the Lord has been pleased to make you a people for Himself. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, but I will instruct you in the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things He has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, both you and your king shall be swept away. If we serve Him with all our heart, with no reservations, with no willingness to defile ourselves with the sin of this age, and with our hope of glory set in Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, we will find His absolute blessing pervading our entire life on this earth now, today. If, however, we choose to half-heartedly and nominally declare the Lord, if we continue to allow ourselves to be willingly enslaved to the sin of this world, we will find ourselves swept away by the flood of His holiness. We will be saved, but we will be without the blessing of the Ark of His covenant in its rightful place in the temple of our hearts. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and by His grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Amen.